thank you for everybody. We're here for our 100 millionth one of these, the Rebel Gula Writing Group. There's Carolyn, it's me, the president.
Jeanette.
We've got Jeanette, thank you, Jeanette. And we've got...
And Michelle, an enthusiastic lackey.
Oh, it's very, very hard. Yeah. She's our go-to person for the festival. Okay, so...
Recovering from the festival.
Yes. And that was fantastic. And we're very, very, very much in the mode of organising for the next one. 2020 Vision, going to be fantastic. It will be happening.
And how wonderful was Sean Williams?
He was a delight of a man.
A lovely, lovely person.
Absolutely. And he's such a wonderful speaker and so enthusiastic and engaging.
He's so humble about what he does.
Amazing. Off you go, kind of going, wow. No, really, that was an excellent choice, guys. Really delight. Worth the wait.
Yes, and Alex has been keen to get him ever since the first festival, so it was really good.
Very much worth the wait.
Festival. Now, I've got lots of literary news this month. It seems to have been a very busy month. To start off with, on the 5th of August, US writer Toni Morrison passed away, and she was a spectacular writer.
That was dreadfully sad. She was amazing.
She was.
A wonderful person as well.
Yes. So her first novel was published in 1917. It was called The Bluest Eye. She won the Pulitzer Prize in 1988, was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1993. 2012, she was presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Barack Obama.
Oh, lovely.
She wouldn't have got that with current president, but Barack Obama was also a gorgeous person. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah.
It's a beautiful photo of the two of them together.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the current president might give the woman who wrote 50 Shades of Grey some sort of special award. So it's all swings and roundabouts, you know, taste.
I'm talking about other writers who would not be appreciated in the current climate. The Booker Prize shortlist is announced, and probably top, and I'd say she's going to win, is Margaret Atwood for Testaments, which is the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale. She was actually put on the Booker Prizes before the book was published, which was a first.
Wow.
So in anticipation that it would be good.
My mum loves her work. She's written Cat's Eyes, another book of hers. Amazing. She's best known for Handmaid's Tale, but she actually
has lots of wonderful books.
Yeah, highly intelligent. Yeah, she's really amazing woman. Canadian.
Yes. Another one of my favourite writers is on there, and that's Salman Rushdie with Chris Schell. The other books on the shortlist are Lucy Ellman's Ducks, Newburyport, Bernardine Evaristo, Girl, Woman, Other, Shikazi Obiyama, An Orchestra of Minorities, and Elif Shafrik, 10 Minutes, 30 Seconds in This Strange World. And apologies for mispronouncing some of those names.
Not a lot of Anglo-white males happening there.
No, good. Yes. Several new books, including the Margaret Atwood, which I already mentioned, and Salman Rushdie's book, both gone straight to the shortlist. Edna O'Brien, her latest book, Girl, is dealing with the abducted schoolgirls in Nigeria.
Who they still have not found.
No, and she's an amazing writer. I recommend Edna O'Brien. Beautiful writer. Tracy Chevalier, who I know Michelle knows, I think.
I do, I like her. She's got a new one out.
Yes, A Single Thread, and it's set in post-war Britain. So they're all books worth looking at.
Yes.
That I'm excited about.
Tracy Chevalier.
And a minor news item, but they put a blue plaque up in London for Angela Carter, English postmodernist writer.
Wonderful writer.
Yes, loved Angela Carter.
Great fantasy.
Yes. And anniversaries of note, 2nd of September was the anniversary of the death of J.R.R. Tolkien. The 9th of September was Tolstoy's birthday. He would have been 191 years old, I think, according to my maths, which is not reliable.
really old.
13th of September was Roald Dahl's birthday, and the 21st was H.G. Wells' birthday. So I thought we'd focus on the birthdays this month, not the...
Happier things,
because we've had enough sad things for the day. So on to poet and writer discussion, and we're going to talk about writers that write about seasons.
Yes, so Jeanette and I had a chat about this after Jeanette was complaining about the cold, and I was lamenting that winter seemed very short this year. So
I thought it was very long.
No. It's been a pathetic winter.
Yeah, so we sort of thought about
season.
Really that focus of the season, because it's almost, I mean, season obviously is a setting within itself. And I was doing a little bit of searching, and I thought, you know, things like a town like Alice, obviously, they talk hugely about the heat and the that kind of... those stories where things happen. The weather is a catalyst for an event, I think, is always really interesting.
It is.
So then I was thinking, I guess a lot, I was driven to the Swedish Nordic noir. And I find it really fascinating because they describe that starkness of winter. Mm.
The snow, the white.
The white. And you can feel that the weather, it's more cold, than, cold, yes, cold. Okay, it's the environment, but it's that so weather cold. That is driving why certain people do certain things.
And I think extreme climates, my first novel was very much about the desert, the Australian desert, the hot, dry north wind, and that was, the weather's almost informs everything in that story. But you mentioned a town like Alice. Neville Shute wrote a book that I read when I was probably about 12 or 13, a trip up to Iceland and Greenland, where, again, the weather informs the whole story and it taps into Viking history. And I loved that book so much, just that mystique. And I've always had this attraction to Iceland, to those extreme. I'd die of the cold probably, but I still really want to go to those countries.
I'd love it. I mean, I guess where I love that sort of book where the weather is a character of its own.
Mm, I do
think
too.
That's really amazing. Very clever. And I'm with you. I like kind of when you read about something completely different is if we don't get that cold.
No.
But when people talk about that bitterly cold and then the shortened days, and I think that's really interesting. Or those really long days where there's only 4 hours of
and then it's nighttime
and how that affects the way people behave. I suppose it's more season than weather, but if you look at it in that aspect of how that can drive and when people can do things in that extreme heat, it makes you realise that really that drive of the weather can so affect character and plot.
That's something probably why I love books set in places like India where the weather affects the culture so much. I love books set in those Scandi areas. I'm not into Scandi noir because I just don't like crime fiction. No, I love books set in the cold.
Okay.
I love those books set up in those areas. Not the Scandi noir because it's crime. I keep thinking, why do they only write crime stories? I wish they'd write something other than crime stories.
People are so cold, they keep committing crimes.
And it's one of the least... Those cultures have the lowest crime levels in the...
That's why they're fascinated by it.
They're
so excited when something happens.
In America, crime is just, another crime, another one.
For no reason. The weather didn't affect it.
I won't rave on too much about what my next writing adventure is going to be all about, then will I?
Michelle Paver wrote a book called Dark Matter, which is set in the 20, however many days it is of night, up in the Svalbard area, and that I loved as well. And deals with ghosts in the darkness.
It certainly made me sit back and think, like, after our chat and then knowing we're going to do the podcast and whether to sit there with some stuff I'm doing with a piece of work I'm working on at the moment, where I realise that I had completely forgotten to really embed the weather in it. I sometimes think we can forget that. We get so caught up in what is the plot.
I write a lot about weather, probably because I'm sensitive to it. But I love Thomas Hardy growing up. I loved the way he wrote about the seasons and the seasonal change in England. This book I'm writing now is very much about summer. But also I want to include the experience of her living on the streets in winter. Partly because I keep thinking about, being snug in bed. I think about my character sleeping under a bridge. And so that's, talking about winter living on the streets, but also the heat of summer out in this farm on the edge with global warming hitting them really badly. So
mine is sort of writing piece where I was describing them waiting at a train station and it's already hot at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I could feel that, those days where it's 9 o'clock and you're already hot and your clothes are sticking to you.
It's not going to get any cooler until hours and hours and hours from then.
Possibly not.
I'm going to have to think more about the seasons in which each book is happening.
Jackie French writes beautifully about the seasons.
Yeah, because she's right there with it.
So I guess writer's tip is think about the weather.
Think deeply about the weather. Yes. And use it in your writing.
Use it as a character, I think. Think of it as a character. Yes.
So the word of the day describes my current state of mind, and it's hebetude, H-E-B-E-T-U-D-E, and it refers to dullness of mind, and that's me at the moment. And readings of own work.
So I am very fortunate in that I get to write under the pseudonym of the Green Goddess for Malala Chronicles, which is good fun. Last week when I received some emails from the editor demanding a piece.
Where would the editor be? I am the editor and I very much appreciate Michelle. And I know she's got a busy full-time job and she's studying and she still manages to produce these gorgeous little bits of thoughtful garden writing.
It was really lovely, actually, because I really enjoyed it. So I'll read this one. This one is called Winter Hibernation. So the Green Goddess is feeling a little tired and run down this week. An awful cold sore and lack of energy, very rare for the goddess, is my body's way of saying I need to slow down. Maybe curl up in a chair with a book and a hot chocolate for the afternoon. However, it is in these life-affirming moments I am, once again, drawn to the simple lessons of the garden. Mother Nature is a practical and unpretentious being. She has some moments of growth and hues of colour. Glorious bulbs and delicious cold-fighting citrus are plenty in winter. However, for the most part, in winter, the garden hibernates. A season where the majority of the plants and creatures stop, slow down, take stock of things, recuperate until ready for that magnificent burst of celebratory growth that is spring. Spring, where we welcome the new shoots and blossoms on trees with joyous wonder, delightedly stop and examine evidence of budding flowers or plant development with splendiferous excitement, all without stopping to consider that none of these magnificent events would occur if there had not been a significant period of respite for the garden. And maybe we could benefit from such a contemplative break. Like the trees that lay dormant in winter, we too need to give ourselves the opportunity to restore and recover. I've often said that humans would benefit from a winter hibernation, like bears. It would certainly be fun to feed ourselves up in preparation and emerge from a wonderful sleep, svelte and rejuvenated. Instead, we continue to fill days with busyness and chores and evenings with television or movies. We rush from here to there and back again. Worse, we fill our minds with complaining and whining about the cold, seeing it as an annoying interruption in our year, when instead it should be the perfect excuse to rest and regenerate. As spring approaches, we're girding our loins to dig and plant and plan in the garden, desperately excited we can get out there and do something. But please take the time, on one of the few cold, dark mornings we have left, to just appreciate the unproductive aspect of our garden and contemplate that all seasons, even ours, carry a purpose.
That's beautiful. Mm, thank you. A lovely piece written. Of writing. Yes.
Thank you.
Mm. And what I'm loving about winter and into spring is our front lawn in various bits has got spring bulbs popping up. Beautiful. And I have got a little piece. Goes like this. But surely, Ms. Webster, honesty is always the best policy, Neville exclaimed in the crowded room. He smiled at me, and I felt a prickling all the way down my spine. Could this man ever not sound creepy, I wondered. Then he extended his smiles to the rest of the council meeting room, catching the eye of his usual fawning supporters. It looked at me with vicious smirks. Certainly, in most situations, honesty, Mr. Mayor, is a good policy, but surely you wouldn't countenance telling lies, Miss Webster. The raucous laughter drowned out any chance I had of being heard, so I merely flicked through the papers on the table in front of me until I found the one I needed the most. Travis caught my eye and gave me the thumbs up. He knew what was written on that page, and he knew that nifty, nasty Nev's smile was about to be wiped from his snarky, slimy face.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Indeed. Mm. I don't actually know what it's all about, but I've written it, so...
Yeah.
I love those bits.
Well, I just did a word search on spring through one of my documents. So these are a little bit of a cut-and-paste paragraph, so they don't quite flow, that's why. This one, just for context, is set in Victorian Waroona, which is vaguely loosely based on Ballarat. Winter cleaves unto spring, a tardy, reluctant spring. Elsewhere in the country blossom glorified migrant trees and leaves tipped nascent green upon their rain-blackened boughs. Blossom and vernal green came late to swell the migrant hearts of Waroona. Although there was no seasonal evening of the weather, the calendar at the good doctor's abode declared that it was spring, and so it was time for the ritual spring clean. Alan washed, scrubbed, dusted and polished. The furniture, considered too heavy to be moved for daily cleaning, was moved. Old Charlie was called up from his obscurity and required to perform tasks to which his senescent bones seemed little qualified. Rain, no, was too thin and lank to earn that appellation. Drizzle, then, fell as though the sky were eternally lamenting. Spring seemed forgotten, though the trees that graced the streets and gardens of Waroona with European elegance were gradually coming into leaf, with an unshakable faith that summer would arrive eventually, and they mustn't be caught still in their winter sleep. The clouds finally dispersed. The hour came to rest upon the bare knoll of a rain-washed hill. Doves swooned in the morning sky. the world sudden and sobered, flushed in its awakening. All that had been dark and dreary for months gleamed in the rejoicing sun. Spring exploded upon Riruna. It was unseasonably hot. The sun blistered from a peerless sky. Small beads of perspiration jeweled her forehead as she worked. The very people who had talked of flood now prophesied drought. Biblical analogies were made. Were they not one of God's tribes lost in a pagan land? Mrs. Titler, the Register of Local Opinions, was the most doleful prophet of them all. This weather is unnatural. First drowning, then scolding. If God sent droughts and floods to punish people for their sins in the Bible, then I don't see why he don't do it now. And there's sin enough in this town to want a punishing. If them droughts were intended to do anything, it was to wash out the sins and iniquity down on the main road. There be plenty of so-called Christian persons there, as is no better than them yaller heathens. There's as much sin in this town as in any Sodom or Gomorrah. Deals back a lot with the 1850s, it's dealing with the racism against the Chinese population. It's one of the major themes of the novel. Now, moving on.
Listener's challenge.
Listener's challenge, and obviously spring in Gawler.
Today doesn't feel very springy.
No, it doesn't, does it? Tomorrow's not going to feel very springy in the weekend.
Summer, go away. Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Another fine one. And thank you for all these seasonal, weathery thoughts.
Yes.
Lovely.
It's been fun.